The reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 20. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I want to start with a little story which I read about in the Daily Mail this week, a little humorous, hopefully, story. It goes like this. There's a gentleman. He was standing and talking to his neighbour on the other side of the road with his house, the front of his house in full view. Looking quite nice, as you see there. And as he talked, their eyes wandered from the house, but then suddenly he looked back and he saw his house was being varnished with a shade of blacky brown. This made him angry because he'd got no plans to do that whatsoever, so what this painter was doing he had no idea. Dashed over to the other side of the road, have a word with this painter, say, "What on earth are you doing here?" And to cut a long story short, it got quite heated very quickly. And his last words to this painter were, "Go away and never darken my door again." There we go. We'll have the door back to the colour. Sometimes we would like to say that to our enemy, to when temptation comes, to when the devil prompts us to go astray, of where our own sinful nature gets in the way. We want to say to this temptation, "Go away and never darken my door again." But the trouble is it keeps coming back. And we keep having to face these battles. And we're going to have a look at some of these battles that we have to face. James gives us this advice when facing temptation. "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Two parts to this. Submit to God. Decide, yes, I'm going to go your way, God. Then you can resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's James' advice. And it's, in a way, when Paul writes his letter to the Ephesians, it's that two-part advice as well. Submit to God. Look at the blessings that he gives you. And then comes the work of following him, of actually going God's way, resisting the devil, if you like. It's a book of two halves. And in this first part of the sermon, I want to just recap that book for you. It's something that we've looked at before. I'm not going to go through verse by verse, because we'd be here to 11:30 tonight. But here's a quick overview. The first half of Ephesians, chapters 1 to 3, tells us who we are in Christ. When we find our way to being a Christian, when we follow him, when he calls us, there are an amazing set of blessings. that he gives us. Not that we earn, but he gives us. And this is talking about how spiritually wealthy we are in him, because, again, not of our own strength, but because of his kindness to us. The second half of the book of Ephesians tells us about our spiritual walk. Having been given all this, we now are able to follow him. And it tells us how we should do this, and the spiritual weapons that we have to do that. Just to give you a quick recap, this is just the first three verses of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul's just said, hello, I'm Paul, I'm an apostle, grace and peace be with you, and then we get to all this. And this is just the start. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's the first one. We've been blessed, not just with a meager blessing, but every spiritual blessing, he says. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. And I've heard it said that I'm glad he chose us then, because I think if he knew me now, he probably wouldn't have chosen me. But he's chosen us, and he sticks with us. He knows us. Oh, he knows all the faults. He loves us. So we're chosen, another blessing. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Christ Jesus. We're part of his family. Not just the lowest menial servant that we've crept into. No. Children, his sons. So we've been adopted. And more astute of you might think there's a bit of a lack space there. What's he left out? This bit, and this is the bit which I always think, to be holy and blameless in his sight. How many of you feel holy and blameless? Not many. And I know sometimes that I don't feel holy and blameless, but we'll see. He wants us to be there. That's going to be something which he's going to change us into as we follow him. But it is a challenge. And notice in his sight, not in our sight as well. When we find faith, the first thing we have is forgiveness and justification. This is the wonderful transaction where God takes all the sin and yucky stuff that we've ever done and thought and puts it on Jesus. He bears it for us on the cross. And he takes the righteousness of Jesus and gives it to us. That's the most wonderful thing that we can have. This incredible transaction. And we come to Jesus and ask his forgiveness and own up our need of him. But he doesn't just leave it there. He doesn't just say to us, well, now you've been saved, grit your teeth, try as hard as you can to follow me. He carries on his work in us to make us holy, to sanctify us. That's something he does through us. He gives us his Holy Spirit to help us with that. God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. And then, eventually, when we get to heaven, we'll have our glorified bodies as well. Those he called, he justified. He justified. He also glorified. Incredible words. That's from Romans 8. In this context, it's like a contrast. When we become justified, it's as if God takes a Christian out of the world and the sin. But as we work through sanctification, he takes the sin of the world out of the Christian. And that's a longer process. Those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And that's his aim. Although he knows that we're sinners, when we come to him, He doesn't want to leave us as sinners. He's looking to change us to be like Jesus. And eventually, that's what we'll be. And then, after three chapters of wonderful news about what the Christians have, what our blessings are, we come to a therefore. Well, we do in the King James Version. It's changed slightly on the NIV. I, therefore, because of all this, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, plead with you, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So because of all the blessings that he has given you, and because he's given you the tools to be able to do this, we look to obey his calling and learn to follow him and resist the pulls of the sin to go your own way. Now that's fine. That's good. As we seek to follow our Lord. But there's two dangers which I just want to point out as we come to the end of the first part of this. First danger is that we can treat being sanctified as an optional extra. We can think, Lord, I'm following you. You've forgiven my sins. Hallelujah. I'm just going to go straight back and do whatever I like. An optional extra. You may remember an old chorus which tells the story of the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house elsewhere on the sand. And that's what, if we just ignore the words of the Lord and don't do this, is like. We're just saying to the Lord, yes, I hear you, but I'm not taking any notice. So no, it's not an optional extra. God is at work in us. He wants to do this work. I said there are two dangers, and this is the other danger. And that is to try and do all of this in our own strength. To try and grit our teeth and think, right, I'm not ever going to do anything wrong again. Either by thinking, one, I don't need Jesus anyway. I'm perfectly good as I am. I'm as kind and as generous as an Ipswich Town defence. I'm absolutely perfect. I just don't need what you're offering, Lord. And the Bible warns us in two places, that, at least these two places here, that that's not the case. It says that everyone, all has sinned. All of us fall short of the glory of God. Everyone. You might not be a mass murderer. There might be great sins in your life. There might just be the niggly sins in your life. But each person has fallen short of that name. And then in Acts 4 we read, there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus is the way. We need Jesus. So either deny him, completely say we don't need it. Well, the other thing we can do is this. We can say to ourselves, right, well, now that God saved me, I have to do the rest of it myself. God's saying to me, right, I've saved you now, and if you fail again, I'll get you. But that's not the case. God has provided us with help. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. Remain in me, keep in me, and I, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And then, later, he says this. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. We have the Holy Spirit inside us, and he is the one that can give us the strength to walk and to follow. You'll notice when you read through the first three chapters of Ephesians that all of God's promises are in Christ. Here's nine of them. I shan't go through them all now, but each of those one is a promise and all of them are in Christ. Just like this tenth one. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Created in Christ, we're in him. Yes, through our good works, not to earn our salvation, but there's a purpose for us. To help build us, to help sanctify us. God has prepared for them to do. But all of it is in Christ. Not in my strength, but in Christ and in Christ alone. Walk wisely. Ephesians 5. We're going to look at the passage that Pauline read to us and what that's got to say to us. Just a reminder, as we've looked before, that the first three chapters of Ephesians, there's many great benefits and blessings that we have as followers of Christ and what we have inherited through what Jesus did. And then chapters 4 to 6 will tell us how we need to live our lives, making use of these benefits, become more like Jesus in our nature. In those chapters, we'll see in chapter 4, the relationships with each other as a church, how we should live as a church. We'll see our relationship with the world, which this is part of, and what we should look for there. The relationship with our own families. Verses like, wives submit to your husbands. Don't expect any of you have heard of that one before, have you, husbands? And other things as well. And we'll get to that part eventually, I suspect. And then there's also the armour that helps you in the walk, the daily walk with Christ. Now, the first four chapters we have actually done as a church. And if you want to refresh yourself on those, there are studies and recordings on the website. So, let's zone in on the passage that we have today. Dangers of the world. We start with this, you were once in darkness. This is what it's saying. In fact, it says, for you were what were once darkness. We're part of the darkness. Not the pop group, but the actual darkness of sin. And the Bible is blunt about what we are without Jesus. This is what Paul writes in the first part of Ephesians. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Dead in sins. Now, when you were born, you weren't physically dead. You were alive, but spiritually you had inherited the sins of before, and you soon managed to add to them yourself. Under enemy rule, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, Satan, and being led astray by him, by our own desires, and by other forces as well. Basically, in the dark. And then, into the darkness, comes Jesus, the light. Now that's wonderful, but that's not so wonderful for everybody. Sometimes the darkness is preferable. And this is what John has to say. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness because instead of the light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear of their deeds being exposed. You see, for some, darkness was preferable. Now, I've used this example before, so you probably know what's coming. But here is a picture of the room with the lights off. Now there it is. Could be anything, couldn't it? Could be wonderful, wonderfully tidy. Or it could be a complete shambles. There's no darkness. You don't know, and I don't know. It's the same in life. You don't know what's inside me. I don't know what's inside you. But when the light comes on, this is me on a tidy day. All is revealed. And now something has to be done about it. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And so, Paul continues to say, "But now, although you were once darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of, in all goodness, righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." Three thoughts are there. One is, and this is a temptation which I face, don't try to hide things from God. Things go wrong. We find things which we do which we're not happy with. Don't hide them from God. He sees them anyway. Bring them before him and confess them. Two is, a fruit of light. That reminds me of the fruit of the Spirit, which you read about in Galatians 5. As we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, he will produce fruit in us. Goodness, righteousness, truth, and the stuff in Galatians as well. And how do you find out what pleases the Lord? Well, through prayer and through reading his word. He tells us what pleases him. We then go on where it says, this is where we're looking at what goes wrong in the world, having nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. So what deeds of darkness could we be looking at? We get a hint in verses 3 to 5, which we looked at last week. This was the list: sexual immorality, impurity, greed, obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking. Quite a mixture there. We tend to sort of think that the sort of scarlet sins, the top ones, and the impurity. But notice greed's in there as well. Are we ever guilty of that? Foolish talk even's in there too. So sometimes when we say things which can hurt other people, or gossip, that too is in this list. In Ephesians itself, there's the temple of Diana, and she was a goddess of fertility, and all sorts of things were going on in that temple and in that worship, prostitution and the like. And that may be something which Paul had in mind. Stay away from that. Keep away from that sort of thing. Deeds of darkness. That speaks to me of something done in secret. Corruption. Something done to get extra money. And notice that Paul says, don't join in with it, but expose it. Be bold there. But how do you decide what's wrong? When everything becomes exposed by the light, becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. You see, when it's revealed, it can be dealt with. When it's brought into the light, it can be dealt with. Also, when it's revealed, it can lead to repentance, healing, forgiveness. And also, it can serve as a warning to others. Like a lighthouse. If you imagine sort of rocks where the lighthouse is, so there's no lighthouse, everybody can crash into that and they'll never know that there was a danger there. With that lighthouse, with that light there, now you can see the danger. Now you can look to avoid it. I said, who makes these rules? And this is something which in our generation and probably in every generation, the challenging what the rules are. Now, some books in the Bible start off encouragingly and end not so encouragingly. Some are the other way around. But what are the books of the Bible which ends in the most depressing way of terrible sin, mass rape, mass murder, is the book of Judges. If you want to depress yourself, read the last 4 or 5 chapters of Judges and see what happens there. But right at the end of the book, it said this: in those days, Israel had no king. Everybody did as they saw fit. And that is probably a very good summary of today. We do have a queen, but everybody does as they see fit. Law had broken down. One of the favourite hymns at funerals is the song, "I Did It My Way." And the idea is that if it don't hurt anybody, then who's to stop me doing it? And if something works for you, if following Jesus works for you, that's great, but don't force it on me. Who decides what's right, what's wrong? Have I got the right to say this is right, this is wrong? And myself, no. But our Creator, the one who made the package, the one who put us together, He knows what's best for us. He has the right to put before us the rules that we should follow. And He gives us the freedom to follow them or not to. But He is the one that decides. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. It's not just, I'll give you my law here, and then we'll give it another 100 years, and then we'll see, do I need to review it a bit? Maybe. It goes on forever. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. God is God, and we are not. Let's go on. This is why it said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. What does that mean? Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. A couple of thoughts came to my mind there. Do you remember Lazarus, the story of him? What Jesus and his disciples were saying? Jesus said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm going there to wake him up. Now, did Jesus mean that Lazarus had nodded off for a bit and just needed to be woken up? No, Lazarus had died. And that is a picture of what Jesus was come to do. The spiritually dead, the spiritual asleep and spiritually, he's come to awaken, to rise up. Well, sometimes, as followers, we can be asleep to what Jesus is doing. We can just be going our own way. And Jesus, talking about his second coming, says, when I come again, if I come suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Does that mean that as Christians, we've got to stay awake just because Jesus might come and find us sleeping? Physically, no. You can have your sleep at night, but it does mean that we should keep watch. We should look to Jesus and look to follow him and not just make all this irrelevant. We need to keep following him, keep awake. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Three quick thoughts on there. Not as wise, as unwise, but as wise. You might think, well, I'm not that clever, but there's a promise in James where it says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. We might know everything, but we have a God that does. Notice they're making the most of every opportunity. That's every opportunity to do good or not to do bad. This is not just saying things you mustn't do, but there's occasions where there's opportunities to actually do things that will help God, that help God's will become. And note the warning, the days are evil. There is much wrong in the world at the time, as there was then. What the Lord's will is, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we ask, your kingdom come, your will be done. Again, we need to ask him. So, live as children of the light. That is the instruction. But the thing to remember is, you are not on your own in this. And as the passage ends, there are three things which are highlighted as ways that we can find help in this. One is, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Now, okay, the wine in itself is not evil. It's just the excess of it. In 1 Timothy there, you'll find Paul saying to Timothy, have a little wine as well as water for your stomach's sake. So it's not to say you can't drink wine, but it is to say beware of excess. But that's not the main part of it, I don't think. Be filled with the Spirit. And that is the Spirit of God sends to help us. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's Jesus' promise to his disciples. And it's to us as well. Be filled with the Spirit. Let him help. But we can also help each other. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Two parts of this. One, encourage each other. Sometimes we are down. Sometimes we are up. And when we are discouraged, we need someone to encourage us, to remind us of the promises we have, to remind us of what God's done for us and will do for us. And this is Paul writing to the Romans. That is, that you and I may mutually encourage by each other's faith, so that you encourage me, I encourage you. Not all coming from the front, but each other. And praise the Lord. We can praise the Lord together, as Pip said. It's wonderful to hear everybody singing as well. It's quite, it's rather strange when we're out there and we're the only ones singing and you're thinking, gosh, it'd be nice to have some joining in. But this can be together. We encourage each other in praising the Lord and in the words of those songs. But also at home by yourself. David, that song there, is talking to himself basically, saying, praise the Lord, my soul. Come on. Let's praise him. He's worthy of it. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Encourage yourself to praise him. When you're feeling down, look up and praise the Lord for his greatness. And on a similar theme, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember to thank him for your blessings. Give thanks to God. Always, for everything. Now that's a challenge, isn't it? Everything that comes, thank him for it. He has a plan in it. But when we thank him, again, we take our minds off ourselves and put them on him. Do not be anxious about anything, Paul writes to the Philippians, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And lastly, to say this, as well as all those things, as well as the Holy Spirit, encouraging each other, praising and thanking, remember your armour. That's in the next chapter. Might be a while before we get there, but there's your armour. The helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of absolute truth, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, and feet protected by the gospel. That's the summary of the armour. When you get a chance, have a read through Ephesians and just remind yourself of these things. So remember, one last thing before I close. When we fail, as we will do from time to time, remember God's promise. We remind ourselves of it each week pretty well. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There'll be comes times when we fail. Don't try and hide it. Confess it. So to sum up, live as children of the light, but you're not on your own trying to do it. Remember what God has done to help us. Amen.